He said, "Well, how can you make such a bold claim? How do you don't even know her very well?" Well, only a supernatural power can make a person who says they love the truth and who says they love the God of truth would make them ignore not only all the warnings in the scripture, which talk about the possibility of falling away, but also the clear implications upon which those warnings are based. If Jesus and the apostles believed and taught eternal security, they would have never have given any of the warnings they did against departing from the faith. Never. They would be pointless. They'd be useless. Why bother warning people against falling away from the faith if it's not possible to fall away from the faith? Well, of course, some OSAS people will say that the reason God talks about the possibility of falling away, even though the truth is we can't fall away, is to keep us from falling away. All right? That's not only circular reasoning, it's stupidity. If you can't fall away because God is the one who is responsible to keep you saved, then you won't fall away whether there are any warnings in the scripture about falling away or not. All right? If God is the one who is responsible to keep us safe and secure, then the warnings about what will happen to us if we fall away are totally and utterly useless. See, even according to our illustrious blogger here, it's not the warnings who keep us from falling. It's God's power that keeps us from falling, right? I mean, after all, the only thing the warnings of Scripture can speak to is our carnal fear of losing our salvation. Isn't that true? Without a fear of falling away from the faith, without a fear of being lost, none of those warnings make any sense. They're worthless. So those who truly believe the promise that God will protect them, they've already let go of all that carnal fear of ever falling away, so they cannot possibly be affected in any way by the warnings of the Scripture. I mean, the very fear that these warnings are designed to utilize in order to keep us from falling away, that fear no longer exists in OSAS people, you see? See, the fact is, if eternal security is true, then even warning people about the theoretical possibility of falling away from Christ is not only unnecessary. At best, it's a statement of unbelief, and at worst, it's another gospel. I mean, hey, isn't that what you are accused of whenever you tell OSAS people they're not eternally secure? Don't they accuse you of trying to be saved by works or of walking in unbelief? See, this perverted trust in God teaching is just one of many theological arguments, one of many angles that people use to promote false security. This blogger that I've been quoting here says very clearly that trusting in God's promise to protect us is all that's necessary to remain under His protection. Now, of course, to be quite frank, I wouldn't waste my time even trying to talk to that woman. Okay, her mind's been taken captive by seducing spirits. But even if I did try to point out to her how unscriptural her trust in God view is, I'd be willing to bet $100 that she would deny that this is what she's saying, because that's the way those spirits operate. They'll double talk, they will lie, they will say anything at the moment that needs to be said in order to keep from being exposed. That's just the way spirits work. When you're under a seducing spirit, you become a liar and a deceiver. And for those of you who hear my voice or read my stuff off the web who have not been turned over to one of those seducing spirits, to listen to what the scripture actually teaches. God's people are not automatically protected from the deceiving power of Satan just because we're Christians. Neither are we protected from that power just because we put our trust in the Lord. We are responsible to do our part in order to receive God's protection. And our part is much more than simply believing or simply trusting that God's going to protect us. This whole idea is nothing but a demonic religious fantasy. If we don't do our part, we will not be protected, and we will be deceived in the end. That's that simple. Just because all these people are deceived don't realize they're deceived, doesn't mean they're not deceived. All right? Now, unfortunately, this false gospel of grace, this Antichrist gospel, has been spread all over this entire planet, is affected with it. Not just the United States, not just the West, the East, Russia, every place that the gospel's gone, it's been a false gospel that's gone there. And so even though you try to show these people from the scripture that they're caught up in a religious delusion, see, they can't hear the truth. They can't hear the truth because their mind is bound and gagged by a demon. And it won't let them hear. It will not let them hear. Let me give you an example. The scripture says, we should cast down imaginations that oppose the knowledge of God. It also says we should take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, right? That's the 2 Corinthians 10:5. You all know that, right? Now, the responsibility for doing these things, it rests upon us, not upon God. God cannot and he will not cast down our imaginations for us. God cannot and he will not take our thoughts captive for us. That's our job. That's our duty. It's our responsibility. He'll help us, but that's our responsibility to do it. And trusting in God and believing in his promises, that's no substitute for doing what he commands us to do. You can say you're trusting in God to protect you all you want. If you're not taking your thoughts captive, if you're not casting down the vain imaginations Satan throws at you, then you are no more under the protection of the Lord than the drunk down at the local bar is. And if you think you are, you're in religious delusion. You see, the thing all these false grace people have in common, no matter what angle they're preaching, what doctrine they believe, is they can't stand the idea that we carry a certain amount of responsibility in our own salvation and our own spiritual protection. They would rather drink poison than admit what the scripture plainly states in this area. Okay, that is, we must do certain things. We must do certain things if you want to remain in Christ, and we must do certain things if you want to remain under the protection of Christ. See, religious demons, seducing spirits, have their minds so bound they just can't get it. They can't ever see it. Will never hear it. They simply will not accept the reality that if we do what God commands us to do, then we will have victory, we will have his power and his help, and we will remain under his protection. But if we are too lazy to do what he's commanded us to do, or if we don't want to, or if we don't think we have to because we're automatically protected and all that kind of garbage, then we're going to experience defeat after defeat after defeat at the hands of the enemy. We will not be protected. We will be defeated. In the end, we'll be totally deceived. Now, in this particular case, when it comes to our thoughts and our mind and all that, we will receive the thoughts and the vain imaginations of demon spirits if we don't take every thought captive, if we don't do what God told us to do. And if we act on those thoughts that we receive from demon spirits, then guess what? We will be obeying Satan. That's right. You, a Christian, me, a Christian, can go through the day obeying Satan. See, any Christian who refuses to cast down imaginations or oppose the knowledge of God, any Christian who refuses to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ is going to end up serving the devil, because the devil can put thoughts in our brains, in our own name, and we'll probably follow them. If we're not checking, if we're not watching, if we're not taking them captive, we'll follow them. See, the cold-blooded reality is this, people. Many Christians right now are serving Satan. Get that in your mind, because it's something you're going to have to deal with in the future. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. We're not talking about pseudo-Christians, fake Christians, people who are religious, who think they're Christians but were never born again. We are talking about genuine, blood-washed Christians who do not know how to control their mind, who do not know how to control their thoughts, who do not know how to check things and stop themselves from doing the impulses that come into their life. And many of those impulses, thoughts, desires come from demon spirits. Some of them come from the flesh nature. Some of them come from demons. And the ones that come from demons, if you follow them, you are serving the demon you are following. It's that simple. So a Christian can serve the devil. A Christian, a real blood-washed Christian, can get up Monday morning and serve the devil all day Monday. That's something the Christian community will not and cannot come to grips with. They just refuse to do it. So many Christians are serving Satan because of the false doctrines they've been taught. The scripture also commands us to flee. Flee from the desire to be rich, and or the desire or the idea that, you know, having great wealth equals godliness or favor with God. 1 Timothy 6, 9-11 tells us to flee that stuff. Run from it. And once again, fleeing from these things is our responsibility. God cannot and God will not flee these things for us. If we choose to flee from them, God will be there to help us flee. He doesn't expect us to try and flee from them in our own strength alone. Also, if we choose to flee from them, we will remain under his protection. We will have his help and we will remain under his protection. Okay, but if we choose not to flee from these things, God is under no obligation to protect us. None whatsoever. And anyone who thinks he is walking in delusion. They've been deceived by seducing spirits. And they're probably going to end up like the people described in the following scripture I'm going to read to you, which is in 1 Timothy. Okay, 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. Paul says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith." They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now please notice that the people Paul describes here are Christians. They're Christians who did not do their part. They're Christians who did not flee from the desire to be rich. And the result was they erred from the faith. Right? And I'm quite sure this blogger I'm talking about, this woman I mentioned, who's propagating the gospel of Antichrist under the guise of trusting in the Lord, would never accept the plain meaning of what Paul said right there in 1 Timothy 6. I'm quite sure that she would give me the same tired line that all the other OSAS people use, which is that these people were not genuine believers to begin with. They just thought they were Christians. They were just religious people who thought they were born again, okay? Because real Christians can't err from the faith. They can't end up destroyed. But the fact is, the only kind of people who can err from the faith are those who are once in the faith to begin with. You cannot possibly err from the faith if you never had the faith or you're never in the faith, all right? See, these people were God's people. And like all of us, they were responsible to flee from the desire to be rich. They were responsible to flee from a desire that can kill them spiritually, can put them in hell. That's why God tells us to flee. He knows where the end is. He knows if we don't flee, we could very well end up in hell. So he says flee. You know, like all of us, they are responsible to reject the idea that attaining wealth is a sign of godliness or a sign of big favor from God. That was their part. That was their duty. That was their responsibility. Unfortunately, they didn't do their part. Why they didn't do it, I don't know, but that's not important. They didn't flee from those things, and the result was they erred from the faith, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows, they fell into temptations and snares and lusts, and eventually they drowned in destruction and perdition. Listen to me, people. They drowned in destruction and perdition. These Christians ended up damned. These Christians ended up lost. And we need to consider this in these days. Because everywhere you turn, Satan is preaching his false security through the mouths of deluded preachers, deluded Bible teachers, and just plain old deluded people like this woman blogger. These deluded people will never accept the truth of what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6. They will never accept that these people who are Christians end up damned because they didn't carry out the responsibility God placed on their shoulders. They'll never accept that because their minds have been taken captive by a seducing spirit. And that spirit will not let them hear the truth. Unless God supernaturally and miraculously breaks the power of that demon that's on their mind, they'll never ever see the truth. The scripture also commands us to flee fornication and idolatry. That's in 1 Corinthians 6:18 and 10:14. Fornication and idolatry. And again, fleeing these things is our responsibility. God cannot and he will not flee these things for us. If we flee from them, he'll help us and will remain under his protection. But if we do not flee from them, then we will not be protected and we could even miss the kingdom of God altogether. See, because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 10, he says this, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters." Now we're talking about fornication and idolatry, right? "Neither fornication nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." That's the word of God. That's the word of the scripture, man. It's not my word. If you don't flee idolatry, if you don't flee fornication, and you end up caught in that thing and practicing it, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. See, God never said in his word that he will protect us regardless of whether or not we obey him. Deluded ministers are saying this. God never said in his word that he will protect us regardless of whether or not we carry out our responsibility, the responsibility he has put on us in this salvation process. Deluded ministers are saying that. God never said that all we have to do is believe in his promises or trust that he will protect us, and he will protect us. Deluded ministers are saying this, okay? God told us very clearly in his word that we must do certain things in order to remain in Christ and in order to be kept safe spiritually. And every doctrine you're hearing out there is geared to destroy that reality in your mind. All these doctrines, all these angles, all these concepts are geared to break down that reality that you're responsible, and if you don't carry that responsibility, whatever it is, you're going to go to hell. Sorry. I don't care if you're Christian or not, you're going to go to hell. To be very frank, all right, very blunt, this idea that we're going to be protected by God if we'll just believe in His promises, or if we'll just trust in Him that He's going to protect us, that is actually what that is. That's a vain imagination. That's one of the vain imaginations that Paul is telling us to reject. That whole concept is a demonic religious fantasy, and it exalts itself above what is written in the Scripture very clearly. It exalts itself above the doctrine Jesus taught, and the doctrine Paul taught, and the doctrine James taught, and the doctrine Peter taught. It exalts itself above all those people, calls them all liars, that we don't have to do all these things, that we can't end up in hell, that we cannot cut out of the vine. That whole thing is a religious fantasy that exalts itself above the Scripture, exalts itself above God. And God wants to bring that thing into captivity to Christ. In other words, He wants us to reject it. Bind it and reject it whenever you come across it. Whatever angle it is, whatever doctrine it is, whoever's preaching it, whenever you come across that thing that's trying to take away the reality that we're living in dangerous days and we can end up lost, reject it. It's of the devil. We must reject it because it's an integral part of that gospel that Antichrist is preaching all over this planet. I don't know if you understand, maybe you do. The vast majority of people who are under the influence of Christianity right now are under the influence of a false Christianity, a false gospel that comes with a false spirit and a false Jesus. That's what we're dealing with. For every 10 people you know, I guarantee you 8 of them are totally deceived, following another Jesus and another gospel. There's just a very small minority of people right now who are not deceived within true Christianity. I'm not talking about within the world religions or the external Christian church or the denominational church. I'm talking about within the true people who have been serving the Lord, even within them, only a very small part of not being deceived right now. It's very dangerous what's happening, and people do not understand it, because the devil has paved a yellow brick road for the last 150 years, doctrine upon doctrine, line upon line, precept upon precept, that blinds them and blocks them from understanding what will be happening in the last few hours of this age. It makes it impossible for people to understand what's going on. The devil has a long-range plan. He started laying all these errors hundreds of years ago for this hour. He wasn't laying the foundation for them to just deceive everybody back then. He was laying a foundation back then for now. So everybody now will be deceived because everybody has all these doctrines in their mind that are wrong. All these concepts in their mind that are wrong. All these, you know, ideas that are wrong. And they all conspire and combine to produce a wall of delusion you can't break through to get people to understand what's happening right now. One of the questions a normal person, I have done this, and I think any normal Christian, one of the persons, any person who maybe has believed in internal security, who has whatever has come out of that thing, and when they begin to understand that many Christians are going up in hell right now, one of the things they ask right away is why? Why would God give so many of his own people, into the hands of Antichrist? Why let so many of them perish? Why? Isn't God faithful? Doesn't He love us? What is the deal? Well, first of all, the prophet Daniel said the reason God lets this happen to his own people is because of their rebellion. He said, well, rebellion against what? Rebellion against the truth. Rebellion against the truth of the Scripture. Rebellion against the true gospel, which teaches that we carry a certain amount of responsibility for our own salvation and for our own protection. Instead, people have chosen to believe the gospel of Antichrist, which says God does everything for us, carries all responsibility for our salvation, carries all responsibility for our protection, etc. And all we need to do is believe and trust. Now, people who choose to accept that false gospel, they go through life ignoring many of the things that God said we must do if we want to stay protected, if we want to stay out from under the deceptions of the enemy. They go through life ignoring it. And since they're convinced they're not responsible to do these things, in order to remain protected, they fail to carry out many of the responsibilities God's put on their shoulders. You know, in short, what they're doing is they think they're walking in faith, but their walk becomes a walk of rebellion. It becomes a walk of rebellion, really. And Daniel said this in Daniel chapter 8. I'm going to read you the NIV version because it's clear. Daniel 8, 9 through 12. He's talking about the little horn, the Antichrist. Out of one of them came another horn, which started small but grew in power to the south and to the east and toward the beautiful land. And it grew until it reached the host of the heavens, and it threw some of the starry host to the earth and trampled upon them. It set itself up to be as great as the prince of the host. It took away the daily sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was brought low. Because of rebellion, the host, that is the host of the saints, and the daily sacrifice were given over to it It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground. That's a very sobering passage, because the people Daniel's talking about in this passage are genuine believers. The terms host and starry host are not only a reference to true believers. I believe they're a reference to Christians who are dwelling in heavenly places. That's what it means. The host of heaven, these people, these stars, are dwelling in heavenly places. In other words, this isn't a reference to baby Christians or carnal Christians. And it's not a reference to religious people who think they're Christians but who are not. Daniel's talking about believers, the stars, who have learned how to live and walk in heavenly places. He's talking about believers who have learned how to walk in the Spirit. This is a reference to believers who are maturing. Okay, this isn't a reference to idiots, morons, carnal baby Christians who don't care about God. The little horn in this passage, it's much more than a political ruler. You can see that because what Daniel's describing, he's actually describing the power of a demonic prince. There's a supernatural power moving in the little horn that enables him to do things that no human political ruler could ever do. It's not the man who reaches to the host of the heaven and throws down some of the stars to the ground. It's the demonic power inside the man that does that. When Daniel talks about the little horn setting himself up to be as great as Jesus, that's the prince of the host. He's not talking about the man. He's talking about demonic power inside the man. When he talks about the little horn throwing truth to the ground, he's not referring mainly to a man, although the man can do some of these things in a limited way. He's talking about mainly the individual demonic power inside the man that's causing God's people to throw truth to the ground. With regards to the fact that this last point here about throwing truth to the ground, isn't that exactly what we're seeing today? And isn't that exactly what Paul warned about in 2 Timothy? When he said, 2 Timothy 4, 3-4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." They will not endure sound doctrine. "But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers," preachers, Bible teachers, religious leaders, "having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth." They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, all right? So what Daniel saw thousands of years ago is this vision. It's being fulfilled right now before our very eyes in the spirit realm. All the things you see in the visible realm, all the things that you see externally happening in the church, like Christians being deceived or Christians throwing truth behind their backs, turning to fables, Christians letting their love grow cold, all these things, they're just manifestations of what's taking place in the invisible spiritual realm. And it's this spirit that's causing people to turn away from the truth. It's a spirit that's in a little horn, the spirit of Antichrist, to cause people to turn away from the truth. And one of the ways he's doing that is by preaching a false gospel at every turn. And thousands of different doctrines that produce what the false gospel is going to produce, which is a false security. Once you accept false security, you stop all the things that are so necessary to overcome. Stop fighting, you stop striving, you stop. There's so many things you stop doing once you accept that false security. This thing is like a plague. You know, it's like a germ that's spreading. And it's very dangerous, and it's taking people to hell. It's not a joke. Anyway, whenever you try and tell people, you know, who've been seduced by this Antichrist gospel that believing and trusting isn't enough, and they don't carry out the responsibility God's placed on their shoulders, then they're going to be walking in rebellion and are in danger of being overcome by this powerful end-time demonic prince. You know what they cry, right? Immediately. Legalism, legalism. Preaching the gospel salvation by works. You're trying to earn salvation, blah, 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 and all that. See, since they've been deceived and they're walking in rebellion under the guise of faith, walking in faith, they have no idea they are the ones Daniel's talking about in that passage. No idea whatsoever. They have no idea that what he said applies to them. When they read what Daniel says about the stars, if they don't even, half of them probably understand spiritual, they probably think it's little stars. But for the few who understand the stars in that passage are saints, are God's people, I guarantee you, when they read that, their mind goes to people like Benny Hinn, Todd Bentley, Rick Warren, you know, and all the other apostate religious leaders of our day. They would never see themselves as part of that group Daniel's talking about. They would never, in a million years, see themselves as possibly being one of the stars that has been pulled down out of the heavenlies. Never. They are so blind by that gospel and by that false security, never in a million years would they consider that they might be one of those stars Satan has pulled out of the heavenlies. Now, the Apostle Paul said much the same thing Daniel did regarding why God turns his people over to a strong delusion. He says because they refuse to receive a love for the truth, right? 2 Thessalonians 2, 8-10. He says, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. In them that perish. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now in reading this passage, I just want to point out three quick points here. Got to understand, or else you misinterpret the whole thing. First of all, he's not talking about a man or a government there. Like the prophet Daniel, he is describing the work of a supernatural demonic power. Eventually, these demonic powers all manifest themselves in governments. They'll all manifest themselves through a man. But first of all, and primarily, they come out and they deceive people as spirits. All right? They get in people, teach them false doctrine, and those people go out and teach other people false doctrine. He's talking about a visible spirit, which he calls that wicked, which is going to come in those who perish. No man and no government can come in people. Only an invisible spirit can come in you and me. All right? Secondly, when Paul says those who do not receive a love of the truth will perish, he's not talking about the unsaved. He's not saying the unsaved will perish if they refuse to accept the gospel when it's presented to them. He's talking about Christians. He's telling us that if we don't receive a love for the truth, we, Christians, will perish. We're going to perish by the lie. We're going to perish because we're receiving a lie. We're receiving the things that damn the soul. Thirdly, Paul is telling us, he's telling us what to look for. What to look for when this spirit starts trying to move in our lives. Because he does. He tries to move in every one of our lives right now. Nobody's exempt. Nobody's going to get off his list. It will try to move in your life. I guarantee you. And Paul's telling us what to look for when this spirit tries to start moving in your life. He says he's going to try and deceive us through supernatural power. In other words, this spirit is going to come into us in a supernatural way. And it's going to come in the supernatural realm. And it's going to try and duplicate the way the Holy Spirit talks to us and duplicate the way the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. It's going to try and convince us any way it can that it is the Holy Spirit.